Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John. 1 John, we'll be reading just a few verses before that. But the 1 John, first book of John, John was that beloved disciple that all the disciples, of course, except for Judas Iscariot, loved the Lord, but it seems as though there was a special place, that special kind of love that he had. So we're going to be dealing most of all this morning from that passage. The title of the message this morning is The Love of God. That's been on my mind, my heart here lately. And in this world, the love that God had for us keeps going through my mind. What love, what manner of love that he had. And this morning's message, the love of God will only scratch the surface, because the love of God could be preached for many, many months and still not even explain and understand. But we ask the Holy Spirit this morning, through the leadership of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, to direct your hearts and minds and let us understand more about the love of God. There are 12 instances in the New Testament that same phrase is uttered, the love of God. I want to go through just a little of them. Four of them were from the Apostle Paul. Two of them were from Jesus himself. And then six from the book of 1 John. So I want to deal with those two verses that Jesus used. He introduced that thought, the love of God, in the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 42. He's talking to a bunch of people that's religious. Oh boy, they have religion, but they do not have Christ nor the love of God, because Jesus said they don't. Listen carefully what Jesus says to these Pharisees and those other religious leaders. Perhaps he's speaking to you and I this morning. He's asking the question, do we have the love of God? Now, before we get into the message, let's look at that word love that's used. Every instant we read this morning about the love of God is a word in the Greek, agape. The Greek had several words for love. In America, we seemingly, in the English language, we have one. You know, and I think because we mixed it all together and you say love, it kind of puts it all together. Then when we say, oh, I love Jesus, but then we love a lot of other things. But the word agape in the Greek means that heartfelt from God the Father. The love that God had for us. He has given us the ability to love like that if we're saved. And so these words that we use this morning will be bad. But let's look at the word love in general, how we use it. You might say, well, I love snow. And then somebody else says, well, I love when it stops snowing. My grandfather, who I take many things after on my mother's side, he was a prayer warrior. I hope to be like that. He was sitting in his living room looking toward the barn, and he had a fence about this tall, made out of chestnut. And he said, I want to see it snow until I can't see that fence. That's how I love snow. And only one time in his life it came about that close to snowing it all in. But you'd have to tell the shovel and get to the barn, of course, to feed the animals. But there was a stream running through the barn lot, so that wasn't a problem to get water to them. But anyway, we say we love a lot of things. And then talking about chestnut logs, I love the old American chestnut. I don't know how many of us in here ever remember going out in the forest and eating American chestnut. They were about three times bigger, in my opinion, than the Chinese chestnut, and the sweetest flavor, and just wonderful taste. The Chinese chestnut to me is a little bit bitter. Then, and all the times I would go out in my neck of the woods where I lived, I was about 8 years old when the chestnuts finally died out. And I remember going out in the woods, and you could take a gallon bucket or a peck bucket and just rake another one tree, just get it full of those chestnuts when they first came out of the burr. And I never remember one of them that was wormy. However, the worms eat the lumber. Isn't that interesting? Now, you would love today to find some lumber that was American chestnut, because if you had a bunch, it would be very valuable. Because you see, all the chestnut trees are long gone. And I love those type of things. My father-in-law on my wife's mother was named Troy, like my grandson Troy, and he had wormy chestnut in his house. But after I found that was wormy chestnut, he had painted it green. I said, Troy, do you realize that you have taken this beautiful wormy chestnut and disguised it green? He said, well, I had to. The worms were eating it up. But Troy, that makes it more valuable. It didn't matter to him. So I stripped all the inside out of that house and replaned it. Norman Lissenby helped me replane it and get it straight. And we use that again. But I'm talking about the word love, how we misuse it. And we use it about so many things. And what I love, you may not love. And what you love, I may not love. And the food, on, on, on. But now we're dealing with real love that comes from the Father. So kind of dismiss from our minds all the other ways we use love. And let's just talk about the love of God. Look at what he says in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 42. Jesus doing the talking. But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue, and all manner of herbs, and pass over the love of God, over judgment and the love of God. You pass over the judgment. God is a righteous judge, and he will judge those things that are not of him, for him, and because of him. And you pass over them. You don't give them any account whatsoever. And you also pass over the love of God, which implies you don't even know the love of God. You pass over it. You may say, I love God, but your actions don't show it. So not only is he talking to the Pharisees, he's talking to us this morning, because singing the song, oh, how I love Jesus, or praying the prayer, I love you, Lord, remember, if it is the kind of agape love, then it's from the heart, sincere, and it's so precious because it only comes from God the Father. We in our physical cannot demonstrate, nor we cannot use that kind of love, because it's not in us. Unless God loved us and we're redeemed by the grace of God, then we don't have that kind of love. We can say we do, but he told them, you pass over it. You don't know the love of God. Continuing in that verse, he said, these ought you to do. You ought to pay tithes. But then he says, and not to leave the other undone. And if we're not saved by the grace of God, it will be undone when we say the word love. It can't be agape love if it's not from God the Father. Then the second time and the last time God, the Lord Jesus, used this phrase, the love of God, will be found in John chapter 5, verse 42. He's talking to the religious crowd again, the ones that finds fault with him, the ones that doesn't have anything. And they say they love God. That's not what Jesus says to them. But I know you, Jesus said, that you have not the love of God in you. You cannot have the love of God in you unless you have the Holy Spirit residing in you. Because remember, agape love comes from the Father. And when he comes, we heard the song this morning and we heard singing about the love of God. Then it wipes away all our sins, purifies us, purifies your soul. And God imparts in us, in our soul, agape love. The God kind of love. So those are the two times Jesus used it, both times addressing the religious crowd. And says, you pass over it, you don't care about it, you don't even know it. You say you do, but you don't love God. You can't love God. It's impossible, he said. I know you. Now, Jesus knows you, he knows me. That ye have not the love of God in you. Wouldn't that be a sad statement when we come to judgment? And if you're not saved by the grace of God, you'll be at the great white throne judgment. Remember, they passed over it, and they'll be there at that great white throne judgment. And they'll say, oh, I love God. I paid tithes, and I went to church, and I was faithful. But he says, but you passed over. You didn't care about. You wouldn't accept my kind of love in your heart. You want to manufacture. You want it to have your kind of love. Love the flesh. Love the things of the world. Love what you want to do. And you dismiss, pass over the love of God that would change you. I don't want to spend any more time on that. But then the four times that Paul used that, I won't even touch on these. But I want to spend the rest of the morning speaking about the kind of love and John tells about in 1 John. Let's look quickly at these. There's three different things I want to look at from this passage in 1 John chapter 4. First of all, he'll show us a manifestation of the kind of love. Manifestation. It is manifest in us. If he puts it in, it'll be manifest. It'll be seen. It'll be felt. It'll clean you up. And then we want to look at the matter of love, just the subject of love or the matter of love. And then the last thing we want to look at in this will be the message of love. Oh, there will be a manifestation of the love of God because it will change you. And then we'll look at that subject about the manner of love. And then if we have it, the message of love. Let's dive in this quickly. In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 5, he uses this phrase. He uses the phrase that God is light. Let's read it together. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Our God, the one that gives his love to us, the one that has manifest his love to us by sending his son into the world to die for our sins and to be able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This God has told it, God is light. Now there's a wonderful thing about light because light dispels darkness. If you were to go to encyclopedia, it's been a long time since I've done it, but it usually don't change, or Webster's Dictionary, and you try to define the word dark, that what you're going is the absence of light. Say all you want to about dark, but the real meaning of darkness is there's no light. And in this world, until Jesus came, the light of the world, it was getting worse and worse in sin. But God manifests himself. He says, God is light. Now let's turn your Bibles to the fourth chapter, and we'll be there the rest of the morning, Lord willing. Look at the chapter 4 and verse 8. Not only God is light, but now he says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. John's telling us the same thing Jesus did. Of course he did. Jesus told the disciples, you pass over the love of God. And then he says, you don't know the love of God. I know you. You do not have the love of God in you. Then he says, John says that same sort of thing, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Because the kind of love we talk about is not the agape kind of love. And if we don't have his kind of love, we don't love God. We can't love God because he puts it in their heart, for God is love. Now we've seen two main things this morning. God is light and God is love. Let's go farther in the study this morning. First of all, a manifestation of that love. Look at verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent him his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Not only is God light and God is love, but he manifests that light when he came into the world, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect and clean life, went to no rugged cross, and there he died for our sins. He shed his blood, and now he took that blood to the throne room of heaven, and now God the Father looks through that blood, and when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, and shows us that we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And because of our sin nature, Christ Jesus came and manifested his love. It's hard to fathom. It's hard to even imagine someone leaving the splendor of heaven And we can even hardly imagine the splendor of heaven, the golden streets and the walls of jasper and gates of pearl. But most of all, Jesus is the light of that city. And since everything is holy and the angels are going around the throne, holy, holy, holy. And we'll be there in that number one of these days. Why? Because God manifests his love to us in coming down to this world, being born, leaving all that, knowing he'd be despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, spent with grief, and go to no rugged cross. He knew exactly where he would go, when he would go. He knew that he would give his life. And now that love has been manifest. But read this verse one other time. And this was manifest because God so loved us. The love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son to the world that we might live through him. And not only did God save us to get us to heaven, that's a wonderful thought. And if we were to live to be a certain age and never have received Christ, and somehow the Holy Ghost came by and quickened their heart, that might be possible, but it doesn't happen all that often when you're on your deathbed. He can save you, but what about the life? The scripture says he wants us to live a life. Now, if you're saved even a minute before you die and you believe in him, you're saved, you're going to heaven. Hey, but you've missed a life. Hey, we're in a world, a beautiful world that God created. And he wants us to enjoy that beauty. Love not the world. Don't have all your stakes driven up in this world, because the love of God tells us that he manifests. He gave himself for us, and we ought to live a life pleasing before him so we can show others this love of God. He didn't just come for me or for you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now he says it's manifest, but the second thing I want to look at is the manner of love. He describes here in 1 John chapter 4 that manner of love. Look at verses 6 and 7. There is that love that is declared. Not only do we see that at salvation, but he declares it unto us. Verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Everyone that loveth is born of God. And you might say, well, I loved God before I got saved. Not the agape kind of love. He just declared it. Now, let God be true and every man a liar, but look carefully at what he said in verse 7. Beloved, that's the one that's been redeemed, the one that God has manifested himself to, and they've received it, blood atonement, and the love of God was imparted and dwelt. Now, let us love one another. If we have that kind of love from God, God gave it. If he didn't, you don't have it, not the agape kind of love. Then our job is to love one another. You might say, wait a minute, you don't know what that person's done to me. Yeah, I'll admit you can get saved and sometimes get in the flesh, but you've got to love anyway. The disciples ran into that. Remember when Lord, we forgive, and they do it again. We forgive, and they just keep on doing it. How many times are we supposed to forgive? 70 times 7, just keep on forgiving. Why? Scripture tells us why. Let us love one another, and that kind of love that God puts in your heart will enable you to forgive someone. We can even forgive sinners. It doesn't matter, because God, he forgave us. And you and I don't have the natural ability to forgive people. You might as well face it. You can say all you want to, I'll forgive you. But I'm telling you, if you're not saved, that kind of forgiveness is not very deep. Because the next time somebody is the same person over and over again, you'll get ornery and hateful again with them also. So he says, that love is of God. The love is declared. And then if it's declared, he says, it's demonstrated. Now, he declares it, that God is love, and he gave you and I the ability. Well, then why don't we demonstrate it? We demonstrate it by loving him, by reading the scripture, by forgiving others, by doing all that he expects us to do. And when we don't, we ask forgiveness and God forgives us. This love of God is not only declared, but this love of God is demonstrated. We'll look at verse 12. Because this love of God now not only is declared and demonstrated, but it dwelleth in us. That's why it can be demonstrated. You don't have to go somewhere else to get it. If God put that love in your heart, and he did at salvation, and then it dwells in us. And next time someone does something or is hard to be thankful, look what verse 12 says. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And there again, we got to come back to the basics. You say, well, I love one another, and I'm not saved, but he just said. Look carefully at what he just said. This is so important. It's right here is one of the main things that we can learn today. We all realize no man has seen God at any time. If we agape love one another with the God kind of love, God dwelleth in us. You say, well, I forgive somebody, and that means I'm saved? No, not at all. Because that is not a demonstration that you're saved, because it could be a kind of love that, you know, you love mother and dad, you could be lost. And you love your children, you could be lost. You love brothers and sisters, you love people that's good to you. But if you're not saved, let them do something bad, and that love is not there, is it? But now he says, if you love God, it's declared that it's from God. It's demonstrated by how we can forgive one another, because it's God's forgiveness that he gives us to be able to have. And the reason we can do it is because God dwells in us. See, when you got saved, the package deal. You got saved and your sins are gone. All past sins are gone. And then that love of God so dwells in you that, yeah, you'll make mistakes. But then he declares, if you ask me, I'm on the throne, right side of the Father, I'll forgive you. And that love of God that's in your heart, that's dwelling there. Oh, this is what we look at and we say, God has manifested his love toward us. And now we're talking about the manner of love. The manner of love in which it does, it's demonstrated. It's demonstrated that you can smile when someone is hateful. Doesn't matter. Let's go to the third and final point. Not only is this love of God manifest, this love of God at the manner of it, but I want to look lastly at the message of love. Oh yeah, there's a message to it, because God has used you and I to be an influence to others in this world. You see, the worldly people probably don't read the Bible. Some may. It'd be good if they did, but the unsaved, for the most part, don't go to the church. And they may say they love God, but we know if they're not saved, they can't have agape love. No, not the God kind of love. But now let's look at the message of love. All these are inclusive in this fourth chapter of the book of 1 John. Let's look very carefully at this, because it's a wonderful thing. We're talking about the message of love. Look at verse 17. It fulfills our longings in our lifetime. You see, that's why it's important to get saved as a child. Because you don't know as a child, you don't know any time in your life. But if you say you're going to live to be 70 years old, God says the life of man is 70. You don't know you're going to live that long. But let's say, for instance, you're a child, and you get saved, and now God may give you a long life. You've got, say, get saved at 12 years old. You've got a long time, if God spares your life, to live in the love. Why, the message you can tell in a lifetime about letting that love of God, agape love in your heart, demonstrate to thousands of people you come in contact with in the lifetime. If you go to college or if you go to school, most of the people you're going to be there with probably aren't saved. They need a demonstration of the love of God. God's counting on you. That's a message of life. And not only that, but it'll help you overcome all kinds of difficulties, problems. See that God kind of loving you, it covers everything. And this verse is going to tell us, verse 17, it fulfills our longings all during our life. Not only save get you to heaven, that's great, and we're going to be there forever and ever, but we may have several years down here too. Why not let that love of God penetrate your heart and fulfill the longings God put in your heart? Because when when Adam sinned, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And we realize his spirit died. He couldn't commune with God. He had to go hide himself. And he was going to live forever, but the body ultimately died. And then the spirit, of course, was broken until God gave him something to revive it, which was, remember, he gave him the coats of an animal, the skins of an animal, which represents shed blood, what Jesus was going to come and give, redemption of sin. And so he received that, Adam and Eve received what God offered. And now God's allowing you and I to live our life every how long he gives us. Verse 17. Fills our every longing. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I've used that scripture so many times in so many different messages. As he is, so are we in this world. Why? Because he lives within our heart. He'll help us fulfill the desires of our heart, and that desire will be for him. Why? Because that manifested love, the manner of love, and the message of love is demonstrated in our actions, every attitude, everything we do for the rest of our life. It's demonstrated, and it fulfills every longing, because God put a longing in Adam's heart to serve him. But he lost that when he sinned, and he had to receive what God offered, the Spirit of God. And when we're born in this world, no matter what your parents, no matter how righteous, how good they were, we're born lost. And then that age of conviction, that age of accountability, the Holy Ghost convicts us, shows us that we're lost, and God manifests his love, and we're told and we're introduced by conviction to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'll submit and bow, he will not only save us, secure us, give us a ticket all the way to heaven, but in this world, a lifetime of fulfilling all the longings. Not only that, all the fears and all the worries are dismantled. Because verse 19 is going to show us this. Look carefully at this verse. Well, I love the way John puts it. Of course, the Holy Ghost doing the writing. John was a wonderful, wonderful disciple. But even he couldn't have written this. The Holy Spirit, of course, dictated, told him how to write. The Word of God is inspired from God the Father. Look at verse 18 first. The fears are dismantled. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. Isn't that wonderful? Fear can be dismantled. What's talking about? What kind of fear? A fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. A fear of, you know, what if I marry the wrong person? Oh, no, no, just fear, fear, fear. Fear is dread. Fear is worry, anxiety. It'll ruin your body. It'll ruin your state of mind. It'll ruin everything. It'll ruin your attitude. But he said very carefully, there is no fear in agape love. If you'll let, now as he is in this world, so are we, right? He just said so. So if we let that love of God that's in us when we're saved lead us and guide us and direct us, not only fulfill every longing we have, but it dismantles fear. Any kind of fear. The word phobia is, this Greek word means phobia. It's all kinds of phobia, right? You got fear, you got a phobia of this, a phobia of that. But you see, when God gives us the release of fear, dismantles it. Now, we have to act accordingly. We have to allow. As he is in this world, so are we. He was in this world without sin. I'm in a fleshly body. My body sins, although the soul that God gives sin. John explained that so beautifully in the book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John about, yes, we're in the world and the body's not saved. Your soul's saved, your spirit's redeemed, but we're still going through the sufferings, the pain, the agony. And so the whole battle is, who's going to win? As he is in this world, so am I, if I'll let him control me. But if I let flesh control me, then the fear is still there. But he tells us, read the rest of that verse, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, agape kind of love, the God kind of love, that's in there. How do I know it's in there? He said it dwells there. And if it dwells there, it's not going anywhere. We have to overcome the flesh, because as he is in this world, so are we. Perfect love casts that fear, dismantles it. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He gave us the ability, that love that controls us. It'll help us overcome the obstacle. It puts a smile on your face. And when you're sick and afflicted and even dying, you can still give glory to God, because even if you're young and you're going to die, cancer, whatever, that God kind of love can give you the ability to give him praise and honor during everything and take away the fear, dismantle the fear. And that perfect love of God fulfills all the longings of your heart, whether you have 70 or 80 years or whether you have 15. Because as he is in this world, so are we. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if we have fears, he just told, we have not let that God kind of love, it dwells there, get us where he wants us to be yet. Still got work to do, right? But it's dwelling there, it won't be a problem. You just have to let it. Remember, you use that word let a lot. Paul used that word let. The peace of God. Let the peace of God. God gave his peace. He gave himself. We have it. Let it rule and reign. Let it have its course. Let it have its right of way. Lastly, look at the father-son relationship. The message of love is it fulfills our every longing. Fears are dismantled, and that father-son relationship. I had two sons, Darren and Michael, and the boys here at this point, they're dead. Died. But even more, my heavenly father. And my dad died, he lacked seven days, being 95 years old. What a wonderful relationship I had with my father. And Sandra's father, Troy, is just a meek and humble man. He let the peace of God rule him. But now let's look what we're told in verse 19 about this father-son and the relationship we have with him. Verse 19. We love him. We love God. Why? There's an empty spot when we were born. Remember, we didn't have that agape love. We couldn't love God. Therefore, we couldn't seek him. But he manifests his love toward us by sending his son. And when he went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. to hover over us and convict us of our sins and draw us to him. Now he says, we love him because he first loved us. The father relationship. I love my boys. I love my grandchildren. But how much more do I love my heavenly father because he first loved me? Thank God. What manner of love, manifestation of love, and the message of love. But the question is, do you have that agape kind of love in you? If you don't, you can't love. You love in another way, but you don't have God's kind of love. Jesus said it three times earlier this morning. You do not have it. You cannot have the perfect kind of love. It cannot. Anyway, you can never go past. You'll fear all your life about something. But because he lives within us, that fear can be dismantled if you'll let it. Would you stand this morning? Miss Brenda, come to the piano. And to the organ, please. If you're here this morning, you don't have that God kind of love. You may love, but I'm talking about the God kind of love. The love of God, he says 12 times in the New Testament. The love of God. Perfect love of God. If you don't have it, you can't have it. If you're here this morning, you've got it, you're saved, but you're not letting it. It's dwelling there because he put it there and it's not going anywhere. But you have to let the peace of God. Altars open this morning as they play. Why would you go through a worry of fear and torment? He said, love not the world, because if we love the world, you will fear what's happening in the world, and that's torment. Boy, watch the news. It'll cause you to fear. But then you read the Word of God and say, oh, as he is, so am I. Why? Because he lives in me. He dwells there. Manifestation. What a wonderful opportunity it is. Renew your acquaintance. Renew that love. Sometimes couples have to do that, you know, and get married a while and then this problem, that problem, they kind of separate. Just get together and let that love be restored. And that's earthly, but God can use his love to help you do that. Whatever you need this morning, would you come? Lord Jesus, because you love me and saved me and secured me, oh God, as I read this word and as I understand your goodness, your mercy, your love, oh God, help me be like that. You said it can be, as you're in this world, so am I. You were in this world, Father, and it didn't get to you. They crucified you and put the thorns on your head, pierced your side. Since you were God, you just manifest that love. No wonder you said, what manner of love. God, you've been good to us. Help us, Father, understand and be more thankful and demonstrate the perfect love of God. It's there if we're saved. Father, people here this morning are not saved. Oh God, let them see what they're missing. Not only they'll miss heaven, living this life, fulfilling the desire of God in their heart to be more like you. That perfect, perfect love. Lord, be those people hurting, those people sin sick. Lord, I pray for Miss Becky. 30 days it's been or more with this ventilator, and that's a long time. God, you haven't gone anywhere. You still dwell in her. And God, I pray for her and John and Madeline and Justin and the whole family. Not only them, but Father, there's other people here and watching and listening by web internet. It's hurting. And that's one thing, but Father, we can conquer the fears. You gave us the ability to do so. Because it abides in us. And help us stop the worrying and the fearing. Knowing and realizing you are in control. And all we have to be is just let your peace and your love direct us. In Jesus' name we humbly pray with thanksgiving.